Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. And I'm very excited to be at the Manchester Terrier Club of America National Specialty. I have a wonderful panel of guests here, longtime, active, involved members of the club, people who have loved Manchester Terriers, toys, and standard for years and years and years. So please, everybody, introduce yourselves. We're going to start right here.
I'm Jim Burrows. I've been in the breed since 1976. I was a young child when I started.
Davy Crockett was just a boy.
Just a boy. So I started off with the Manchester, started showing. As I progressed through the breed, I started breeding. It's a great little breed. I highly suggest it for anyone that's getting started in juniors or doing agility or confirmation or performance. It's just a great breed.
Absolutely.
My name is Annette Bougeot, and I've been in Manchesters for approximately 12 years. I started out with my first Manchester in obedience because that was my first love. I have since also done rally and confirmation and dabbled a little bit in agility, and I want to start doing some tracking.
Very cool. And barn hunt. What about barn? Why isn't anybody doing barn hunt with
these guys? Done a little bit of barn hunt, just like a trial.
Cool.
Yep.
And my name's Marla Zaz. I have been in the breed for about 25 years. I got my first Manchesters and did not intend to start showing. And my breeder said that if I wanted to breed a litter, she suggested that I show them first and get their championship. The first show that I went to, I did very well, and I was hooked, and I've been going and enjoying it ever since. I have done a little bit of agility, obedience, but mostly confirmation.
Yep. And like many of us, that first ribbon, man, it's just,
it's addictive.
It is. It is addictive. I tell people this is a little bit like gambling. You can lose more money this way even than you can at a slot machine. Okay. So, guys, Jim, they tell me you're the historian. Give us a little bit of background, a little bit of history. How did we get to Manchester Terriers? How did we get to two separate varieties?
Sure. So the Manchester Terrier started in the UK. It was originally derived from the extinct Black and Tan Terrier and a couple of other breeds, but its primary focus in the early days was to kill rats and vermin in the inns and the restaurants over in Europe. And so they derived, there were toys and standards. Originally, probably the standard was the primary breed, but as they had litters and there were smaller dogs, the toy was derived probably from the standards.
So. Okay, so you think the standard is the original variety?
Right, from the original Black and Tan Terrier.
Right.
And then we ended up with the toys.
And toys and standards are the same exact description, just in a smaller size.
Great. We have the same exact breed standards, just the size difference and the ears. So
right.
The toys can have a naturally erect ear, where the standards can have a naturally erect ear. They can have a button ear or a cropped ear.
Okay. Very good. And talk to us about how do you take that fabulous history and translate it into your performance events? Because that's a dog with a lot of drive, yeah?
It is a dog with a lot of drive. They are very food-motivated dogs, so you can utilize food to help train. Keeping them focused can be a challenge. Like with any terrier, they're easily distracted. So you want to take things, you don't want to drill things like you can with some breeds.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very, very smart dogs and pick up on new activities and new things very quickly.
Excellent. And Marla, I know you do a lot of work also with rescue. So let's, as a group, let's talk about who makes a really great Manchester Terrier owner and who should maybe have second thoughts.
You know, Manchester Terriers, they get very attached to their people. They need some place where they can get some activity. They work in a house or an apartment, either one, if you're willing to take them out and walk them. But they do bond very strongly with their people. So it's somebody that wants, you know, if you want to go out and run and walk, they'll do that. Or if you sit down and watch TV, they're going to be right there. They're going to be a couch potato.
Yeah, they are lap dogs.
The one thing with the Manchester, I always tell anyone that's interested in the breed is they require a lot of attention. They are very smart. They're very energetic, like Marla had mentioned. They're very athletic. So if you run, you play Frisbee, they love being a part of the family. But if you have a quiet lifestyle and you want to read a lot, they'll curl right up to you. But it is important for you to spend a lot of time with them, especially the first year or two. Mm-hmm. It's just like any child. If you have a well-socialized child, you're going to have a very well-balanced Manchester. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those dogs that you can just leave at home and just, I'll see you at 5 when I get off at work. And then, oh, I have a lot of activities with kids or whatever. You got to put a lot of time into your Manchester, just like you do your children.
Right. What you put in is what you get out.
Exactly.
Annette?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do work 8 hours of the day, but I'm very diligent about coming home and doing activities mm-hmm. with my dog. They love being with you. I find them to be highly energetic. You want them to go, they're ready to go, moment's notice. You want to sit home and cuddle on the couch, they absolutely love that too.
Right, absolutely. And so they're very versatile. They're very good size. They're low maintenance, you know, the grooming, right?
Grooming is mm-hmm. very low. I mean, you keep their nails short, you keep their teeth brushed. Just dental, just like on humans, it's really important to brush the teeth. The more you brush the teeth, the better their health condition's probably mm-hmm. going to be. So I'd say a nice bath every once in a while, keep their nails clean, a well-balanced dog food, and keep their teeth brushed. And you're going to have a dog probably 14, 15, 16, even maybe a little bit longer than that.
That's right. I was going to say this is another advantage to this breed, good longevity, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a life commitment.
Right. And the toys tend to live just a little bit longer than the standards, but even the standards, most of mine are 15, 16 mm-hmm. yeah. years old.
Yeah, the average life expectancy is 15. The oldest Manchester I have ever had died just over 18.
And so relatively healthy. You're not seeing a lot of diseases popping up, anything
there,
that's
there are
really
a few things in the breeds, like just like any right. dog breed or even right. a mongrel, right. you're going to have health issues.
Exactly.
The big health concerns in our breed, we have luckily found DNA markers and are able to do
nice.
DNA tests for
nice.
Most of those. Cardiomyopathy is mm-hmm. one, just like in Dobermans mm-hmm. and a couple of the other breeds.
Von Willebrand's,
which is a bleeding disorder, just like hemophilia in mm-hmm. humans, but we have a DNA test. You can be carrier clear or affected. It's important for anyone that's looking for the breed to talk to their
yes.
breeders,
right.
ask if they are doing the DNA testing.
Right.
What is the status of those puppies?
Go look it up on OFA.
Yeah, look it up on OFA. Make sure that you know what you're getting. Make mm-hmm. sure if you're contacting breeders, they stand behind their dogs, that
right.
they have a health guarantee. It's really important because those Manchesters, like we mentioned earlier, are going to be with
right.
you for 15,
right.
16, 17 years, and you want to make sure that your breeder's going to stand behind them.
And that your breeder will take them back, right?
Exactly. Yes.
You know, and it happens. We all have the best intentions of breeding dogs, and they'll go to a forever home that will be, you know, be like Lassie. They're well-loved all their life. That's our aspirations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people's life changes. They have health issues. There's divorce situations. Mm-hmm. Things happen. So mm-hmm. you always have to be willing as a breeder to take them back. And, you know, I've gotten dogs back at 11 or 12 or 13 years old.
You
but
just
that's
told
just,
me the story. Yeah,
yeah. It happens.
Right. Okay. And so who is it that you would suggest might not be suited to a Manchester?
If you have a very busy lifestyle that doesn't allow for you to devote time to the dog, it may not be a dog for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all work 8 hours a day. All of us, normally mm-hmm. everybody works. Mm-hmm. It's usually, that's just, you know, we're not lucky to be able to stay at home. But, you know, when you get home, just like was mentioned earlier, you need to spend time with the dog.
Right.
You need to be able to take it out for a walk, cuddle with it, take it to obedience or agility or a socialization class. Spend time with the dog. It's very important.
Right. Annette?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's mostly about time and having them be a part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
These dogs don't make good kennel dogs that are stuck in a crate
backyard
all day
dogs,
by
right.
themselves. They're very social.
They love the outside.
Good
but they
kids.
Do want to come in and sleep in the home, whether it's in your bed with you or,
yep.
or in
under
their dog bed.
Under the covers
bed.
At the foot of the bed is what I've noticed.
That's probably yeah. the bed. Yeah, that's what yep. they love.
Good with kids. Yeah.
Okay.
I find most of mine, they love being outside. They want to be with
me. They want to be with their owner.
They want to yeah. be with me. So I'll let them outside. They'll be like, where are you?
Right.
I want to come to the, they come to the back door and they want to be in with right. me. So when I'm outside, they're outside. I'm inside, they're inside.
And like Marla had mentioned earlier, you know, some of them love to be at a home where there's land and acreage to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have people that have lived with them in
apartment buildings
in the cities and have done quite well.
But if they do live in an apartment and they have to take them out for walks, I highly recommend that they are always on lead because they are very, very driven.
Play
and
drive.
If they see a squirrel, a rabbit, they are going to go. if you work with them, you can have a good recall, but a squirrel can still take precedence over that recall.
They're very prey driven. Right. The other thing, too, just like people, there's some that like to talk a lot and some that don't.
Yeah, I was going to mention, can I just bring this into the conversation? I know you people love your dogs, but I'm saying.
But they can be mouthy.
They are terriers.
So if you have neighbors who are going to be upset, if you have a dog that...
You need to take it into consideration that, you know, just like when you have a child, you don't know what you're getting. You may have one that likes to talk a lot. They have a nickname of being a four-footed burglar alarm, so usually they will tell you that there's somebody at the door before you hear a knock or a ring at the door, and they will bark until they know that it's okay.
Right.
So just be aware, you know, just like they're outside, if they see or hear something that they're not familiar with, they're going to bark. So if you're in a residential area that doesn't do well with noise, you just need to be cognizant of that before you take it into consideration bringing one into your family.
Right. That's kind of, I think it's important for people to know, you know, exactly what you're getting.
Exactly.
And they are terriers.
They're terriers.
They are.
Whether they're a standard or toy, they're a terrier.
They're terriers.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, Laura at PureDogTalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details.
So talk to me a little bit about how is the temperament kind of across the board? I know it's a little bit of difference between the standards and the... So Marla, give us standards, and maybe Jim, you can give me toys.
Sure.
The breed as a whole, most of them tend to be just a little bit aloof with strangers. But they do usually warm up fairly quickly. And I think that for the most part, everybody's doing better with their breeding programs. And they are getting to the point where they're more outgoing. But you're still going to find them that they're going to be leery of strangers to begin with.
Okay.
And I find the same. I think, that, like
in
I mentioned, it's really important to socialize your dog, your puppy. Get them out. Take them everywhere you can take them. Take them to the pet store. Take them to the dog park. Take them to family events, friend parties. Wherever they're allowed to come, take them. Because
that's going to build
their confidence level. Right. You want a well-rounded Manchester. That means they're exposed to a lot of different people, animals, environments, because as they grow up, that's just the norm for them. So they're not shy or aggressive because they've learned good socializing skills.
Right. And how do you find them in your performance events? Do they tend to need extra motivation or extra socialization to be able to succeed there?
I think a little bit, like Jim said, they tend to be reserved right in the very beginning, but then they warm up quickly.
Right.
So exposing them to a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different people, they come around, and I find it not to be a big problem.
Okay, that's really good.
I tell puppy buyers, take them out everywhere, like I mentioned earlier. Get them involved in the puppy kindergarten class or socialization class. As soon as they've had their shots and they can go out, take them.
A good obedience class when they're young, or even a couple, whether you ever intend to compete or not. But it's good for them to
good foundation.
Get them out.
That's true of any dog.
Yes. Yes. P.S. Every dog needs to go to the
Yeah. I don't find them to be that different in that aspect. Socialization is important in any breed.
It's a very smart breed.
They're
very devoted to their people. They love their food. And so I just say treats and positive reinforcement, you're going to get a good, healthy, long living Manchester that is a pleasure to live with.
Positive reinforcement, I think, is key to this breed. I don't think they do well with negative feedback. They want to make you happy. They're very smart, and if you tell them they're right and they're doing the right thing, they'll do anything for you.
I agree that, you know, the positive reinforcement is going to go a lot further than corrections.
I would say so.
And the best thing, too, is like when you have a puppy, I get a puppy harness instead of a collar, because that way there's not a lot of tug on their body. If there is an issue, if you're at a dog park and you need to bring them up quickly, you can lift them quickly up and not hurt them in any way. It also is a lot of stress on their bodies.
This is one I do think we need to talk about. How are they with other dogs?
Great.
Yeah. If they're brought up, socialized from the beginning, they do well with other dogs.
And, you know, that's the thing is, like, positive reinforcement. So if there is an issue, aggression issue, correct that behavior early on so they realize that being a part of a pack, a social pack, is very important to their owner. And so they realize that with positive reinforcement, it kind of gets them out of that negative, like not getting along with other animals.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's important that we say these are terriers.
They are terriers.
And you can encounter some dog aggression issues if you're not very careful with how you're raising them.
It's back to spending time with the animal when they are young and in their adolescence period in order to get a dog that's well-rounded as an adult.
I think breeding, too, is important when it comes to temperament and exposure. So both are equally important.
Nature and nurture.
Yeah, and I actually have found with my dogs, I have worked new dogs in quite easily with this breed. So I find them to be very easy to socialize with other dogs.
And, you know, as breeders, if we find that we have an aggressive dog that we cannot socialize out or positively reinforce that behavior out, don't use them in your breeding program.
Mm-hmm. Right. So once again, for people that are looking to acquire one of these dogs, meet the parents.
Yes.
Right.
Meet the family, right?
Meet the family. Go to a confirmation event or an agility event. Mm-hmm. Look for a Manchester Terrier if that's what you're interested in. Interact with them. Talk to the breeders. Mm-hmm. Be well-informed. Ask a lot of questions.
Well-informed.
Spend time.
The breeder should welcome you into their home. You know, this is where the dog has been raised. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how we live. And they should be willing to let you come in and see
and
how the puppy was raised and interacts with the other dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very important. Because, I mean, we all know that terriers are going to be terriers. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that people just need to be aware of and know that they have to deal with that. Yeah.
Right. And be willing to correct, you know, if you have a little 2-month-old puppy, and, oh, look, he's protecting me. Look at he's, you know, well, that may be cute, but that may not be what you want as an adult.
Right.
And if you don't correct them as a puppy and get them under control, it could escalate.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so final piece to this. When we're looking at a Manchester, we have the toys that are 12 pounds and under, mm-hmm. and we have the standards that are 22 pounds and under. When we're looking at them, what makes a really beautiful Manchester? So just kind of the eye picture, what is it that you think of? Like, I'm going to look at this and say, that is a gorgeous Manchester. We're going to start with Jim.
So I have three things that I look at when I'm looking at a dog. I look at tail, top line, and tail set. And then I want to look in the mouth because they are terriers, mm-hmm. and they were bred to kill vermin. So I want to make sure they have teeth. Our breed standard says full dentation mm-hmm. preferred. Mm-hmm. So I look at the teeth, the tail, and the top line, and I'm looking at the silhouette. And I'm looking, can it do
that rise over the loin?
Rise over the loin, and can it do the job that it was originally intended to be bred for?
Excellent. Annette?
I'm looking for good structure in a dog because I do mostly performance.
Tell us why it's so important to have a dog that's built right in order to do the performance events.
A dog needs to be built correctly in order to move correctly. If you don't have a dog with good structure, they break down. So you're jumping, you're running, they're doing a lot of sitting, jumping, running. You really need to have good structure or your dog is just going to break down.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's very important. The things that I like a nice head, top line, as Jim said. And I just think they're just a nice, put together, compact, easy to care for
package.
Wash and wear kind of dog.
It is a wash and wear breed.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Wash and wear is definitely, I would think, a major point about this breed.
For me, the head is probably one of the biggest things. I like a nice head that's appealing. A top line is important. But for the most part, it depends on what you're looking at. Are you looking for a puppy as a pet? Or are you looking for a dog to show in confirmation? The pet people are going to look at these dogs totally different mm-hmm. than anybody mm-hmm. that's in confirmation that mm-hmm. wants to continue their mm-hmm. breeding program. But just for the pet people, it's probably just that cute little puppy face mm-hmm. that they fall in love with.
They
first.
Look like little mouses. They do. I told this to Jim the first time I ever saw a TMT, a Toy Manchester Giant, the first one I ever saw. I'm like, that looks like Mickey Mouse. Because it was a little puppy and it had these big ears and it was just adorable.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you would like for people to know about your breed?
Just do your research.
Yeah. Do your research. I think they make great family pets. As long as they're raised with kids and
good with kids, you
with
think
kids,
they're good?
Mm-hmm. Sure. They're a great companion for kids.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys very much. I know we all have places now at the National. This is one of those things about a National, man. You're always like, zoom. And that's another thing. Anybody who is interested in this breed, always try and attend a National specialty if you can, because that's where you're going to see
them
most.
You'll see a lot of them, and because they're not at every confirmation show.
Right. They're hard to find other places. So National specialties are a great place to meet dedicated preservation breeders.
Definitely.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.